Good morning and welcome to the Eastman Financial Report. I'm Dan Eastman, your host, and today is Thursday, August 6th, 2026. Thank you so much for tuning in. As always, we appreciate your viewership here at the Eastman Financial Report, which broadcasts live Monday through Friday at 11:30 Central Time until 12 noon. And we broadcast from the great metropolis of the city of Milwaukee, right in the middle of the continent and right where the middle of the action is. So we have a great bit of experience. So we also broadcast from the mighty Cobalt microphone here in studio. So thanks for tuning in. As always, we appreciate your viewership. And we appreciate your viewership throughout the day at worldviewtube.com. And of course, we're listening at Worldview Radio. As you know, our broadcast network is a Christian ministry, and it is our ministry, our mission, our goal, and our passion to bring to the great marketplace of ideas the news and information of the day from a Christian perspective. And of course, that's what we've been doing here at Worldview Tube since 2006, as Brandon Hollis started his digital ministry, and off we went in a wonderful opportunity to continue bringing the gospel message to the world using this platform. And as you know, we watch our network. You see not only news and information, breaking news, all of the political news and all of the world global news, but you also see economic and financial news, and that's why you're watching here. And if you notice, you don't pay a paywall or a subscription to watch our broadcasting. And it's not like a lot of people, you know, you have to sign up for the program and pay money to hear what they have to say. We don't do that. And that's part of our Christian ministry. I mean, it's been a gift freely given since, well, 2,000 years ago when the apostles started going about the Middle East sharing the gospel message. Well, they weren't selling tickets or subscriptions or paywalls or anything of the sort. That message was freely given by the apostles, and at great personal risk to themselves, I might add. Well, here we are 2,000 years later, and we continue in this tradition of spreading the gospel message through the platform of news and information, and we will continue to do that until the second coming. Now, if you'd like to help us in this ministry, you can do that. You can go to worldviewfoundation.com and make a donation. You can sign up for a one-time donation, which is always greatly appreciated and helpful, or you can sign up for our monthly donation plan, and that allows us to, well, it flattens our revenue curve a bit so we can better match costs to revenues, and then we can continue to operate in the black, which allows us to continue broadcasting for free. The address is on the bottom of the screen, wvwfoundation.com or worldviewfoundation.com. It takes you to the same place, or you can use the handy QR code the corner of the screen and takes your smartphone. It'll take you right there, and you can support our ministry by making a donation or signing up for additional monthly donations. And that really helps because the foundation helps this ministry, and that's what keeps us solvent so that we can continue broadcasting free of charge, which is a critical component of any ministry. You can also help the ministry by doing business with the vendors you see advertising throughout the day. As I point out, we don't sell blocks of advertising time, and nobody buys a block of time and advertises. We partner with companies that we know and trust so that when you buy their goods and services, a small portion of the proceeds comes back to us in the form of a sales commission. And that, of course, goes to our bottom line and keeps it positive and allows us to continue broadcasting for free. So it's important. And we're doing business with some very good people, some very good vendors. So when you buy their goods and services, you know that they're friends of ours, and they have we trust what they do. And that's why they're broadcasting. You know, that's why they're advertising on our broadcast network. There's a third way you can help the ministry as well as yourself. And this is very important. It's expanding, but if you go to worldviewtube.com/vault, you type that into your browser, worldviewtube.com/vault, you can go to our vault product. And the vault product is really the digital aggregation of all of our ministry. As I pointed out, here's the address right on the bottom of the screen, worldviewtube.com/vault. But as I pointed out, Brandon House has been in this space since 2006. He's written over 16 books, and he has done events, conferences, and seminars all over the country. All of that information is now digitally captured in the vault. So you have complete access to over 30 years of ministerial work inside the vault. And that includes our news programs, includes the Eastman Financial Report, all of the reruns for the last 3.5 years from, as I say, broadcasting from the great metropolis of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Those reruns are in there as well as other programming on this network. So when you subscribe to the vault, you have access to the entire ministry and an archive of what we said. So if you've seen a program and then later you're thinking about it, you think, gee, I wish I could rehear what that had to say. I want to know more. You can do that. You subscribe to the vault, you type in your username and password, you have 24/7 on-demand access, and all of that information is there. And you think, wow, that's really quite a collection. But, you know, 30 years of material, how in the world would I ever go and sort through all that and find what I'm looking for? Well, we have developed a search tool that is second to none. It's an amazing tool that allows you to search by topic. So if you want to search about the Iranian situation or Middle Eastern situation or a Bible passage situation or a theme situation or even financial and economic issues, you type that into the search engine and it'll bring up exactly what you're looking for. It's really a great tool. And the Vault also has, we've just now started adding Bible courses. So if you go to the Vault, you'll see the Book of Revelation. And Brandon House has spent a lot of time working line by line through the Book of Revelation. And his entire work is now incorporated into the vault as an interactive Bible study. It's amazing. It's really an amazing way to dig very deeply into Scripture, and it's right there at your fingertips. And it's really a remarkable thing. And it's all included in the price of the vault. And if you look at the fact that we're going to be adding additional books over time, additional Bible study courses over time, so the vault is a dynamic thing that keeps getting bigger and bigger. Every time I do a show, the rerun is in the vault. Every time we broadcast, every day, many of the shows are in the vault. They're captured permanently. So it's just a growing collection of Christian ministry, and it's all inside the vault. You think, wow, that must be very expensive. How could I possibly afford that? Well, remarkably, you get access to the vault for less than $8 a month if you sign up for the one-year program. If you want to try it out month to month, no problem. It's less than $10 a month. So you think, well, if you go out to lunch or maybe go to one of those fancy coffee shops, you may be paying $8 or $10 for a cup of coffee. I don't think you're going to buy lunch in today's American economy for $10. But the point is, for a very nominal fee, you are not only helping the ministry, but you are also becoming a bigger part of that ministry as the members of the vault grow and the vault itself grows and the information grows and the ministry grows. You're becoming part and parcel of a much larger thing, and it's really worth your while. If you're taking time out of your day to watch this program right now, you should subscribe to the vault. If for no other reason than if you perhaps miss my broadcasts from time to time, you can see them in the vault. They're in there. The reruns are right in there. And of course, we all have people in our lives who are struggling, you know, friends, neighbors, relatives, maybe health issue, financial issue, personal issue, family issue, whatever. Giving them a subscription, a gift subscription to the vault may be just the ticket to be giving them something that's spiritually uplifting. You can buy them lunch, and you probably should, or maybe take them out for coffee. But for the same price, you're giving them monthly or yearly access to an amazing spiritual tool that could really help people in their lives today. And that's a wonderful gift to give for no other reason that they can go in and see exactly the same ministerial content that you can. It's a wonderful thing. So that's how you help our ministry. Basically make a donation, which is always appreciated. Do business with the vendors you see advertising on our network. And of course, please subscribe to the vault. It would be well worth your while to do that. Probably the best $8 you've spent all week, and you only have to do it once a month. Okay, let's jump into the news. And of course, you know, we're talking about the situation in Iran. It's going back and forward, and Iran is talking about a great big fee to allow ships to pass through the Hormuz Strait out into the global commerce. And it got me thinking about a long time ago, you know, from my perspective, a while back, I had the privilege of going to Germany, which is a place that I truly love, and spent some time on the Rhine River in the middle of summer. And it's a very, very beautiful and unique place, as the Rhine River is flowing towards the sea and the Mosel and the Deutsche Ecke, the German corner, where everything converges. And as you're going down the river, there are vineyards on both sides. And it's just almost fairy tale because there are all these great big castles all up and down the Rhine on both sides. And they're beautiful and they're ancient. These are castles from the 1200s and the 1400s, and they're big stone things. And sometimes people live in those, but many times they're pretty much, they're not quite up to modern standards. But the point is, when you're sitting in so many of the cafes looking out over the Rhine, and of course the boats are floating back and forth, it's a very picturesque place. It's a very tranquil place. And even, I think I'm blanking on the name of the poet, but he wrote the great Lorelei poem, which was very, of course, you can see that, you know, ich weiß nicht, was soll das bedeutet, dass ich so traurig bin. It's a magical place. But the interesting thing about it is along the Rhine are all these castles and these big buildings, and in the olden days, these were where the robber barons lived. And of course, if you were needing as a commercial person, the Rhine flows from inside of Germany, coming up, starting in Switzerland, flows through to the ocean. And if you want to get your goods and services from either Switzerland or Germany to the ocean, you got to go down the Rhine. And of course, these robber barons figured this out, and these great big castles, and they're intimidating, and they would string chains across the river. And as your boat, your kind of ship came along, and you came to the robber baron station, you had to pay a fee to be able to float past the guy's house. They didn't have the same type of riparian rights that we have in the United States. It's, you know, it's navigable waters. Anybody can float down the river. Not there. The robber barons were right there. And of course, that was a thing. It was the thing for hundreds of years. And that's how they built these great big, you know, not mansions, but castles. It was all funded by basically holding people up as they were trying to do commerce and go, you know, float down the river and get to the ocean. And of course, that is very similar to what we're seeing in the Hormuz Strait, with Iran saying, if you want to float past our little strait, you have to pay money. So I guess one could equate the Iranians with at least the robber barons of yore. But then you ask the question, well, whatever became of the robber barons? Well, at some point in time, the German people and the German industrial people came to the point, and commercial people and merchants came to the conclusion that maybe there's a better way to get your stuff from the German heartland to the ocean without having to go floating past the robber barons and pay all this money. Because it's not just one robber baron. If you sit there and if you take a boat cruise, I don't know if you call it a barge or what, but there are long tourist boats that actually float up and down, and you go past castle after castle after castle after castle, you realize that it wasn't just one robber baron. It was every robber baron that could build a castle and figure out how to hold you up. So it was quite an expensive trip. So the merchant class basically said, we need an alternative to doing this, because this is very expensive. And of course, that's how different trade routes evolved, because it got to be too expensive to use the logical path because of the greed of the robber barons. Well, it's the same thing that's happening in the Iranian situation. And of course, the Iranians, they want a lot of money. And of course, President Trump is negotiating back and forth. But at the end of the day, when you look at the economics of how much money they could collect from ships going through, it's an astounding amount of money. It's in the billions and billions of dollars. It would be one of the most lucrative enterprises on earth. And of course, the problem is, it's not just the Persian Gulf surrounded by Persia, and if you want our oil, you got to pay, and you have to pay to get in and out. It's other Gulf states on the other side, on the western side of the thing, that are also being held hostage by the robber baron of Iran. So it's very interesting to see how that's going to play out, but it definitely feeds into the idea that by allowing Iran to do this and to create this greedy situation, it will irritate the Sunni side of the other Gulf states, not the Shia side of Persia, that it creates the continuing friction and turmoil between the two factions of Islam at the same time as it restricts the bullets from coming in and coming out. So from the perspective of the oil industry, and I've been talking about this, if you go sign up for the vault and go into the watch my reruns, you will see that I've been talking about shifting the economic power away from the Gulf, and that's what this Bellum was designed to do. Now, the unintended consequence, or perhaps maybe not unintended, is the fact that the Sunni states are also losing revenues as a result of the Iranian greed, which effectively pits two factions against themselves. But the point is, when you are a refiner, and I talked about this yesterday, the only purchasers of oil, all these great big ships, the LVCCs, and 2 million gallon barrels floating around the ocean, the only buyer of this oil are the refineries. And the refineries are a business. And when you're a refinery, you know how much oil you need in your holding tanks because it's a flow. Remember, I was talking about the flow? You take the crude oil, you run it through your machine, your refining machine. 12 to 24 hours later, after they're pressure and cooking and doing whatever refiners do, out comes the gasoline and diesel and airplane fuel on the other end, right? That's the model. So if you're in the refining business, so you are the most sophisticated buyer of oil on earth. And the only people who buy oil are the refiners. Nobody buys a barrel of oil that isn't a refiner. There is no practical use for crude oil. It has to be refined. So the refining class, the refining industry, and yes, there are some producers that have refineries and even gas stations, complete vertical integration. But most of them are, it's not vertical integration. You're a producer, or you're a refiner, or you may own both, or you're a refiner and you may own gas stations, or you may own both, or you may own all three. It's a very diverse group. But the key to the oil business is the demand for oil, physical oil, at the specific date and time by the refiners. So if you're a refiner and you're watching all of this Bellum in the Persian Gulf, and trust me, everyone at the peak of their career who are the buyers of oil for refineries are likely people who were born after the 1970s, but are very, very aware of the global market for oil, the pricing mechanisms, the delivery times, and the risk involved. So if you're buying oil for your refinery, you're going to be looking for the cheapest oil that will be most likely delivered on time. There's the delivery on time is critical because you got to keep your flow going. You can't wait 2 months for a ship of oil to show up. It has to show up when you need it, or the whole refinery, effectively, there's not enough input and the refinery shuts down. That's not a small thing. It takes a long time to shut a refinery down. They schedule maintenance, and if something breaks, it's a big problem. So you need your oil on time. And of course, price is important. It's very important. If you want your holiday and your end of year bonus as the buyer of oil for the big refinery, your job is to buy oil as cheaply as possible. And that's why I talk about the Purchasing Manager Index, the PMI, from time to time. That's the person right there, the purchasing manager, okay? And their idea and their job, their career depends upon, I need to buy oil as cheaply as I can, the quality of oil that I need, as cheaply as I can, and I have to have it here on time so the refining people can refine it and then sell it because the gas stations are waiting for it. That's the magic. So my point is, they will be ignoring the Persian Gulf more and more. And just as the robber barons of old effectively killed their own golden goose by charging too much and too many of them, and basically highway robbery all the way down, to the ocean, the merchant class found another way to go. And with the Hormuz only handling 20% of the world's supply, 80% elsewhere, if you're running a refinery in Houston or Indiana, basically, so you know what? That's too expensive. I don't want to have to pay the robber baron fee to get the ship through. The shipping costs are way out of line when I can buy Mexican, Venezuelan, Colombian oil all the way down to Bolivia and Argentina, Peru, all the way down the line, and I can buy from the Caribbean. I can even buy from the Brent. I don't have to worry. I'm not going to take the time to overpay shipping just so we can pay the Iranians who are going to make money. So the point is, their business will drop. And that has the effect of neutralizing the value of the Hormuz. If the Hormuz was just another place in the ocean to sail through, well, then the Gulf states would be competitive. But the more restriction in price, the less competitive and the less people will purchase it. And because it's only 20%, the rest of the world can absorb half of that, maybe, you know, three quarters of that. So the point is the Gulf states on the other side, the Sunni states, are really panicked, because if you can't get oil out of Iraq or Kuwait or Qatar or Saudi, that's a real damage to their national budgets. And that's why the Saudis are running that pipe to Yanbu, and that's why they're trying to get it in and out of the, you know, into the Red Sea, and then out north through the Suez or south into the ocean. And that's why the Houthis are right there bombing their ships, because they're trying to cause additional damage, political damage, by interfering with that supply route. Well, what does it do on a global basis? Well, if you're in Indonesia or Malaysia or, you know, wherever, you know, Colombia, Venezuela, that's good. That's good for business. You want to keep that stirring, because then the refinery buyers are coming your way, because nobody wants to deal with, I'll buy a ship of oil, and maybe if it doesn't get blown up or it doesn't cost me three times as much to get it here, the buyers are going to move to the other part of the world. And that's the whole function of what, why President Trump is creating what looks like chaos in the Middle East. Chaos is good. And you know, if you read his book, The Art of the Deal, it's right in there. Trump is playing a masterful head game with Iran. You know, they're talking about, oh, we're running out of missiles and this and that. Doesn't matter. All you need to do is shift global demand for oil elsewhere, and you defund global terrorism. And that's what everybody wants. We want a world with no terrorism. And why should we be filling our SUV gas tanks and the money goes and ends up in Iran and they use it to blow people up? We'd be better off giving it to Colombia or Venezuela or our dear friends in Mexico. So anyway, that's what's going on. Oil prices have not been reflected today. West Texas is down to 77. There's probably some long faces with my dear friends in Midland and Odessa, because that's not a lot of money. Brent is down to 82, same Brent that was 114 last week, it's down to 82. Mexico dropped $10, it's down to 70, because there's supply issues stabilizing. And of course, our dear friends in Canada are down to 62. So anyway, I've got to take a break here. I'll come back and we'll talk about unemployment. How about that? Be right back. Thanks.
Introducing Worldview Tube Vault. Over 35 years of radio broadcasts, television programs, documentaries, and ebooks. Plus, Worldviewpedia, our powerful search engine for instant worldview and Bible research. Join for as little as $7.99 a month. And now, Vault members get something brand new, courses. Our very first course is here, the Book of Revelation with Brannon House. 53 in-depth lessons, complete with overview quizzes, walking you verse by verse through one of the most important books in Scripture. Getting started is simple. Go to worldviewtube.com/vault and join today. Already a member? Visit worldviewtube.com, click the person icon in the top right, and log in. Then hover over Vault in the menu and select Courses. That's it. You're in. Join WorldviewTube Vault today at worldviewtube.com/vault.
Okay, I'm back. Let's talk about jobless claims. This is Thursday. It's Unemployment Thursday. My tradition since my college professoring days has been to look at the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which I talked about yesterday. They issue the weekly jobless claims, and then of course those are the people who sign up for unemployment last week. We measure it on a weekly basis, and from an labor economics perspective, we look carefully at that number, because it's an indicator at the macro level, macro meaning, you know, United States wide, nationwide level, how the labor market is doing. And of course we looked at the JOLTS report earlier this week, and we saw that there were 7.4 million jobs available. It was down a little bit, but there's still 7.4 million jobs available. Well, today we have the unemployment claims, and there were 199,000 people who filed for unemployment across the country, across the whole country. And, you know, again, you have to keep the 199,000 people in your prayers, because if you get laid off and you're in economic dire straits, you go to the unemployment office in your state state and you sign up for unemployment and they give you a little bit of money, maybe to buy groceries or a little gasoline to get to the next job. There's always a requirement that you be out looking for work. It's not a permanent place to collect a paycheck for the rest of your life. But unemployment, we keep them in our prayers because it's not a happy walk. It's not, you know, nobody wants to go to the unemployment office and sign up for unemployment, except people who really need the help. So we keep them in our prayers. But from a macro perspective, we look at that number. And the good news is it is again below 200,000 people. 199, it was 169, and then it was 180 something. It's 199, I guess, I'm assuming you counted everybody. But the point is the number has been below 200,000 people signing up for unemployment. Now, when I started this program back in March of 2023, and from that day until this, we've been looking at this number on a weekly basis, and the number has oscillated between 200,000 claims, which was the former low, to 250,000 claims. I think when we had the big wildfires in California, and everything was shutting down, but the point is, it's always been oscillating between 200,000 and 250,000. Well, for the last 3 weeks, it's been below 200,000, and that is a really good sign that fewer and fewer people are having to seek help at the unemployment office. So what it tells us is the labor market in the United States is stable and it's improving. We look at the unemployment number, which came out as 4.2% of the workforce is looking for work. And we look at the JOLTS number, which is 7.4 million job openings available. And you think, well, gee, professor, why don't the 199,000 take one of those 7 million jobs? Well, it's not that easy. The jobs are scattered around the country and the unemployed people are scattered around the country. It's not like the next job is two doors down from your home. So the point is, we're looking at a stable employment number in the United States. And that's important from a policy perspective, because that's what economists do. You analyze macro data, and then you come up with results, and then you give it to policymakers who do things with it, like the Federal Reserve or Congress. I forget Congress. But the point is, this is what economists are paid to do, and that's why this number is important. And keep in mind, the Federal Reserve looks at that dual mandate, keep unemployment low and also keep inflation low. So what we're seeing is a very low unemployment, there's a jobs market available, and we're seeing fewer and fewer people claiming unemployment. So what it tells you is employment is stable and our inflation is high. It's about a point higher than the 2% bogey. It's about 3% roughly. So when the Federal Reserve again goes into its meeting, the idea is, should we raise the interest rates to slow the economy and flatten the inflation curve, meaning and knowing sadly that unemployment will go up because we've got some buffer here. And of course, that's what we were expecting in the last FOMC meeting. And three of the members of the committee actually voted to raise the rates. And that, of course, sent the stock market crashing for 24 hours until it totally rebounded. But that's the point, and that's why we look at the unemployment numbers. So it's an important metric. I did want to talk about, in my few moments left, the federal government is $40 trillion in debt, $40 trillion with a T. It's a lot of money. And of course, they run $2.5 trillion annual deficits. And the story I wanted to talk about is that $8 trillion of that $40 trillion is going to come due. It's going to mature within the next 12 months. And that's a significant number, because when those government bonds come due and they mature, the Treasury has to issue new debt to pay off the bondholders from the old debt. And when they issue the new debt, it will be at a higher interest rate than the old debt, because the old debt was issued when the interest rates were low. Now the new debt to refinance the old debt, follow me here, finance the old debt, will be issued at higher interest rates, which puts a larger burden on the Treasury to pay more interest on the national debt. We're already paying about 25% of our annual tax revenues, our total federal revenues, 25% of our total revenues goes to pay interest. Well, that is going to grow and become a larger percentage as we refinance $8 trillion in debt over the next 12 months. Now, you could issue shorter term obligations, which have a lower interest rate, and that's what the Treasury will likely do. So you're going to shrink the term, the outstanding term of our federal debt, $40 trillion, to a shorter term. So if interest rates continue to rise, the shorter term will be refinanced at ever higher rates. So this is a doom cycle. We've got to watch this carefully. I am totally out of time today, not broadcasting tomorrow. Be back next week. But please go to worldviewfoundation.com and make a donation. And please subscribe to The Vault and become a permanent part of this ministry. It's an amazing product. But more importantly, it would be just wonderful to have every viewer as a member of The Vault, because then you're not only watching us in real time with no paywall, but you're also supporting the ministry, and you've got access to everything we've ever done, and it's all living in the vault. That's the amazing world in which we live. Anyway, have a great afternoon, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.